Hey y'all, it's Cynthia, and I'm trying something new today. I am trying to do this video and a podcast at the same time. So please forgive me if I appear to be a little bit distracted because I'm trying to do this all by myself. And if you know me, you know that I like doing that kind of thing. But also, if you know me, you know that I'm not very technically advanced. But I did want to talk to you today about something that has sort of been weighing on my mind. And it's sort of like, you know how you get that feeling you should be doing something and you keep asking about it and you pray about it and you know that God's going to answer your prayers and then nothing happens. Well, I'm sort of at that, or have been sort of at that point recently. And so what I've done is, you know, I've just been asking God and I just don't feel like he's giving me the answers and all this. And then I go to church on Sunday, and before Mass, I started reading the readings for the day. And the first reading was from the book of Deuteronomy. And it was Moses talking to the people about what God was expecting of them. And there's a line in, this is chapter 30. For those of you who know the Bible by chapter and verse, I don't. But he says, "For this command I enjoin on you today is not too mysterious and remote for you. It is not up in the sky that you should say, 'Who will go up to the sky and get it for us and tell us of it that we may carry it out?' And it is not across the sea that you would say, 'Who will cross the sea to get it for us and tell us of it that we may carry it out?' No, it is something very near to you, already in your mouths and in your hearts. You have only to carry it out." Now, I sat in church before Mass because I had read this before Mass, and I circled it. You know, I take notes during Mass. My husband yells at me for doing that, but I can't help it. I just, you know, I'm a writer, and I have to write when it hits me. And if something's being said to me during Mass, then I'm going to write it down. So I did that. I was sitting there and I was looking out at the people that were coming in as before Mass was starting, and I said to myself, "Hey, how many people are hearing this the way I'm hearing it? How many people in Mass today will hear this the way that I hear it?" And I'm sitting there going, "I bet there's not anybody that hears this the way that I hear it." And that's probably true, because what I need to hear of the gospel or of the word of God at any point in time is not the same thing that you hear. And we don't want it to be, do we? No, because I don't want to live your life, and I really don't want you living my life. So I did a blog post that I have called In Your Mouths and In Your Hearts. And The thing that I started with this is that I really feel like God is screaming at me, like, "Do it! I'm telling you, do it!" And, you know, I'm sitting here going, "Oh, dear Lord, please tell me what you need me to do for you." And he's screaming it to me. And I really got the feeling of that when I read this piece before Mass even started. Not even going into the rest of the readings or Father's sermon or anything like that. I got, "Do it!" So, it, you know, and I don't know if anybody else feels like God is screaming at them, but I definitely feel like he's screaming it at them. And so I'm sitting there going, "Well, you know, maybe he's calling me. Maybe he's wanting me to do this because he's calling me." And, you know, guys, I really resist that kind of thing, because I think a lot of the reason why I resist it is because I don't feel like I'm worthy. You know, there's a lot of things about my faith that I feel that I'm not worthy of. And so I've never been somebody who feels like they've been called to do anything. I envy my husband who knows what his vocation is. He's a farmer and he takes care of his crops and he takes care of his animals. And it doesn't matter if it's midnight and he needs to go and check on a cow, or if it's pouring down rain and he needs to see what this is what kind of effect this is having on his crop. You know, I wish that I had that kind of a vocation. And you know, I do have a vocation in that I've always felt like I needed to be a wife and a mother. So I do have that kind of vocation. Any of you that know me know that that's always the way I felt. But I don't feel, you know, I don't feel like I've ever had the vocation of what my job should be. And then I got to thinking about it, and I thought, yes, I have. It's just that I haven't paid attention to what that vocation is. And those of you that know me well know that I do not pay attention. I could be walking down the street and pass you and have not seen you, and I really want to say something to you, but I won't do it because I'm not paying attention. I'm really looking at the street and making sure that I'm not going to stumble and fall, because I'm very good about stumbling and falling. But I felt really compelled that I needed to pay attention to this. This is something I needed to pay attention to. And so I really feel like I'm being called. And I don't want to say that I'm an evangelist, because I don't think that I am. I think I'm a storyteller, and I think God wants me to tell his story. And so you're going to have to put up with me, because that's what I'm going to be doing. And I'll get to that in a minute. But I, you know, I back in 2015, 2016, I'm not sure when, I was sitting in church one day, and I really felt like I was called to write. And after church, I said something to Father Darrell about it, and he is one of my biggest fans. He really does like my blogs and some of the things that I have to say. But he really thought that it was a good idea, and he worked with me to come up with a name for it. And so it's called Logos from the Pew. And it's basically what I'm doing here. I'm taking some of the things that I heard in church on Sunday, and I'm telling my story as it relates to that. But we do have a blog out there called Logos from the Pew, and anyone that wants to contribute to the blog, they're more than welcome to. But really, back then, I should have taken God's hint that this is what you should be doing. But I keep resisting, because, you know, I know that he's going to send me the thing I should be doing. And I think that he has. So, and there have been other times that I felt like I was called to do what he wanted me to do as far as that's concerned. And then, and I think I've done that, but then that's all I've done, you know. And how many of you have kids that you say, pick up that trash, and they pick it up and then they put it on the counter? Or, you know, go clean up your room, and then you go in there and everything's stuffed under the bed, you know. So, I mean, I think I do what God is telling me to do. It's just I don't do anymore. That is really bad. So now I'm sitting here saying I'm going to do more. I'm in this little prayer group out at church, and one of the members out there, I feel like she and I think alike in a lot of ways. But her big deal is, how in the world can people go to Mass and just sit there? You know, while she's staying there, she says it takes everything in her not to stand up and shout out hallelujah. And I've told her, I've said, hey, we need to start a cheering section, because she sits like in the second pew on the right hand side. And I'm like, we need to take that whole left hand side and make that the cheering section and be right in front of Father. And we can just, you know, go at it and say, oh my gosh, Father. Oh my gosh, you know, oh, that's what I needed to hear that. Yeah. I told her, I said, maybe some people would join us, but I really think more people would go further back so they didn't have to be associated with us. And you know, I think that that's a really cool thing. But I think too, as an evangelist or as a storyteller, it's better to sit with people that aren't reacting, and to, you know, get, see, so that they can see how you are reacting. I really do like to sing in church. I like to sing anytime, but I really like to sing in church, and I'm really loud. And I hate to tell you that, but I'm really loud. And so a lot of people have come up to me through the years and said, oh, you really need to be a cantor, or you need to be in the choir. And I'm like, no, I'll do my singing from the middle of the church. You know, I'll be back there just singing my heart out, because really, if I mess up, you know, nobody knows. But a couple of years ago, I made up my mind that I was going to start cantoring. And so I have, and I'm really lucky in that, one, I've been given a microphone. Don't ever give me a microphone. And then two, that we have a music director who makes me sound amazing. I mean, she is so good, with what she does. So I really do sound good. But, So I decided that I would take that on as a ministry, I guess. And I have enjoyed it. But what I enjoy even more is when I am singing from the middle of the pew and some little kid turns around, like they whip their head around, like, who's that? And I always take it that I'm singing so well, but it's probably that I'm singing so loud. But but for the last few months, like I've said, I've begged the Lord to tell me what I should be doing right now. But I really do think that He's been telling me. And I really do think that I haven't been listening, because I really haven't been paying attention. So I've been waiting for Him to send me this next big thing, and I'm waiting for Him to get my life on track so that I can move forward. You know, that I really have felt like that's what He's been doing. But reading what I've read this week, I really do think that that God has been trying to say something to me. So that was on Sunday. Well, on Monday, which was yesterday, I came to work and I listened to some podcasts, and there's this guy that I listen to all the time called Gary V. His name's like Gary Vaynerchuk, but that's really hard to say, so he calls himself Gary V. And he was doing a podcast on how much should they care for $12 an hour. And he was talking about taking care of employees and that kind of thing. But anyway, somewhere in there, he got to talking about entrepreneurship, which he talks about that quite a bit. And, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. So that, you know, really does speak to me. And but he made a comment that if you've been in your business for 2 years and it's not working, maybe you should be doing something else. Well, guys, I've been in this business, the business that I'm in, I've been in it for 10 years. 10 years. And for 10 years, I have scrimped and saved and borrowed from Peter to pay Paul and done anything I can to make it work. And I have yet to get to the point where I'm comfortable in my business or in my life. And another thing, I'm not having fun. And if you know me, you know how important it is for me to have fun at work. I mean, I want to get my work done, but I like to have a good time. I spend too much time at work not to laugh or get excited or have fun. So as I was sitting there listening to that podcast, I started crying, because I have been beating my head up against the wall and it's obvious that what I'm doing is not working. So I have thought for years that if God sends me a message like this, it's like he is slapping me upside my head. And I felt yesterday like I'd been slapped. And I also felt as though I was the only one who could do anything about it. So I called my daughter, who is an entrepreneur, and I shared all of this with her. And she said, "Mom, this isn't anything that you don't know." And I know that. But then I sit there and go, "But what if it doesn't work? What if nobody cares what I have to say? Oh, and what if I fail?" With all caps. And she reminded me that I know how to do this. I know what needs to be done. And she also reminded me that I was really good at it. And she reminded me that God would not have sent this to me if he thought I would fail at it. Okay? And then she told me, and I've heard it twice since then, that I did have a story to tell, and there were people out there who needed to hear it. So, guys, off of the little pity party I had going there, I'm going to do it. I'm going to change all of my hats, and I'm going to carry around just one hat. And it will be easier. It would be easier for me to tell you what I'm not going to do, but I need to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a storyteller. I'm going to tell you the story about how faith has changed my life into what it is today, and how faith can make your life joy filled. Because my life is joy filled, and hopefully you will agree to be in my posse, because I think a posse is something everybody should have. And I'm going to ask you to share things that I do that move you, or things that make you laugh. Hopefully you're not laughing at me, you're laughing with me. You're not saying, "Oh my God, did you hear that woman?" Okay, all right. And hopefully you'll tell your friends about me. And hopefully you'll let me interview you for some of my content. And this is a big thing. Even though I am scared shitless, I know that God will take care of this for me. I know this because I've got this big old feeling in my gut that is about to explode. And it's choosing to come out through my fingers, because I feel it in my fingers. So it chooses to come out through my fingers and through my mouth and through my heart. I know that God is counting on me, and I know that I am counting on you. You do not know how much I appreciate you listening to me, and you do not know how much I appreciate you sharing what I'm having to say and supporting me in this endeavor. And I really hope that at some point in time that you can call on me and say, "I need you to help me with blank," because I will be more than glad to do that for you. So if you don't mind, will you take this video and share it? And will you subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is at Sin Elder? Will you follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Sin Elder? Will you follow me on Facebook? And that would be at Sin Elder. Ha! Do you see this? It's a pattern. Will you subscribe to my blog, which is faithfarmfamily.com? It's not at Sin Elder. Will you do that for me? Because it's only through you guys that this is going to work. And I want it to work so bad because I want to have a good time and I want to smile and I want to be fulfilled. And I really do think that this is the way that I'm going to be fulfilled. So I appreciate you. You don't know how much I appreciate you. And I look forward to talking to you so often. So thank you for listening, and I will talk with you soon. See ya.